WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is Wildcat Chris Harris.
Hey everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
I am Sid Vicious.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
This is WTR Sunday Night.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
The greatest wrestling talk show of all time.
Real fucking funny, asshole.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
If you haven't noticed, and judging by the attendance, you haven't.
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
This guy threw at his own kid in a father-son game.
The Omega.
Better teach this kid some control before he kills somebody.
Heartbreak Mike.
Look at this fucking guy.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I'm gonna stick it up fucking ass.
All right. Knock that shit off.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is former WWE superstar and ECW general manager.
Alejandro Estrada. Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device. WTR Sunday Night.
I can't say goddamn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
To take me away, back to strawberry fields and a God that was real, till he took my sunshine away. I'm a liar at night, I'm a fighter by day, I'm a rolling thunder on the...
And welcome everyone to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Welcome to our post WWE No Mercy episode, recapping another WWE event. Certainly no mercy if you're a cruiserweight fan. Oh, I feel like there's going to be some opinions. So, let's not waste any time. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
That type of night
needs a little bit of help to get through. I don't blame you.
Who knew that the man with the Superman punch was going to be the main event of the show, and after that everything else went downhill? Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Something to think about. So, the one who has to do the most thinking because he's at the lead of the show is the one and only Tim Stein. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm joining you, Mike. Cheers.
Cheers to you.
So, I this makes me the designated driver of this.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell's yeah. Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome back to WildTalkRadio.com, streaming simulcast live on the TuneIn app, 100% free, downloaded to your mobile device. Search Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen to us bitch and complain wherever you are.
Oh, there will be some bitching and complaining tonight, let me tell you.
There you go. Yeah, and it's nice to know that the intern is on top of things and never screws up.
Right.
Seriously, intern. Take a day off. You might not make as many mistakes.
Right, because he put us into a panic for 20 minutes.
You son of a gun.
Like,
anyway.
Seriously, intern, you're docked some pay somewhere. Someone take away his cookies.
Yeah, no more Oreos for you, motherfucker. Anyway, what we're alluding to, we've got a prize to give away tonight for WTR Pick'em at the end of our quick little review. So did you win an autographed copy of Second Nature? You're going to find out, because we're not letting the cat out of the bag just yet. But we do have...
Someone won. Just not
we have an an uncontested winner.
Yes, thankfully.
Which is really good. Yeah, so WTR Sunday Night, bringing you our thoughts, views, and opinions of No Mercy, which is really weird to me to think of No Mercy as a Raw pay-per-view, because I've got it so ingrained in the back of my head from the original brand split that it was a SmackDown-only pay-per-view for the longest time.
Was it, though?
It was. Yes, it was. No Mercy was SmackDown, SmackDown-only pay-per-view. Right up until the end of the Bland is more accurate. Brand split.
Okay.
Yep. Because I remember, I don't want to watch No Mercy. It's going to suck. Think about that. Just think about it. Now, before we launch into what we thought of the pay-per-view, I'm going to put it out to you. Don't be a sheep and don't think that it's all cool to bash on somebody just because everybody else is doing it. If you love the pay-per-view, that's great. If you liked it, that's great. If you thought it sucked, that's great, too. We're not here to try to convince you one way or the other. We are here to tell you what we thought of it and just give you our own opinions. If you agree with us or disagree with us, you are 100% free to. We're not looking for sheeple. I just want that pointed out. We've always been of the opinion that your opinion should be the first one that counts as far as you individually are concerned. Am I correct, guys?
No, you're totally incorrect. Because if you do not agree with us, you're fired.
Yeah, that was sarcasm for those of you who couldn't smell what the Rock was cooking there.
That was also a political shot. Anyway, let's move on to the show.
Solidarity! Lock arms!
Anyway, let's get moving, shall we?
Sounds like another topic to give Mike Rage. So, of course, right at the top of the evening, we have the pre-show, and I don't know who caught any or part of the pre-show, but the majority of it, of course, naturally, because it's on the socials, is hyping the WWE Network. Get the WWE Network. It's free for 30 days. That means that you won't have to pay for tonight's pay-per-view. And then there was a match. Rock.
Oh, you're talking to me. I was listening to John Cena basically said, tell everyone, hey, I'm leaving and I'm going to be retiring. Kind of.
Thank you, Cena.
Anyway, the pre-show, Elias wins. He did a song and then he beat Apollo Crews because reasons. Yay!
Because Elias and Apollo Crews.
Because the match to convince people to sign up for the network is Elias Sampson versus Apollo Crews.
Well, here, I'm going to throw this at you, Omega. Do you think it would have been better or worse to have Enzo and Neville open up?
Okay, this is asking me to choose between a cold and dysentery, so...
Yep. I could throw that question to Mike, too. Here you go, Mike. One word from you. I know what it is.
Rock, what's that Twitter that we go to for all complaints and stuff?
At the
WTR Oreo.
Yeah, at the WTR Oreo.
On Twitter. Everybody follow Mike. He's lonely, okay? You follow me on Twitter, follow him, too.
Don't follow me.
Here you go. That should get you one or two.
Me and Cedric Alexander were having a good conversation about that. Okay, let's keep going.
There you go.
Anyway, so the reason why I would assume Apollo Crews and Elias were the opener on the pre-show is because Jeff Hardy is injured, and he was probably going to be part of the opener on the pre-show. But he's injured, so that's a thing. So we had this. It didn't set the world on fire. It didn't suck, but it was just there. Elias is a good heel, but it was just your typical match. Elias got the win.
I'm sure that Elias could have had a better opponent. I'm sorry, Apollo Crews, he's a bit of a flop.
Apollo's, athletically, he's gifted as hell, but he's never once been given any kind of personality.
Is it a case of he hasn't been given a personality, or he doesn't have, air quotes, it, whatever it may be?
No, it's not even that at all. He has it. It's just creative doesn't have it.
It being a clue.
Any clue whatsoever. Yeah. Angry Heartbreak Mike tonight, guys. Fuck the Revival.
We weren't even there.
We haven't even gotten there yet.
Oh, I know.
And what was that, a preemptive?
Oh, you'll see. Just let's keep going.
Okay, there you go.
And by the way, Omega. Oh, yeah, Jack Daniels tonight.
Jack Daniels, if you please. There you go. Yeah, of course, the other thing that we were inundated with tonight was the announcement for Asuka's Raw debut. That happens at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs October 22nd.
I think that was the only good thing that happened in the pay-per-view.
No, that's a lie.
No. We're gonna be on the. It's gonna be a case of we got to agree to disagree. Personally, overall, I didn't hate this pay-per-view. There were parts of it that I missed, family obligations here and there, so I won't be able to completely talk about it. But apparently, I missed one of the best matches on the card. Right?
You did. You missed one of the best matches on the show. Without a doubt.
Let's get there.
But this whole show, up until a certain point in the 10 o'clock hour, like every Monday Night Raw, hits a wall. This show hit a wall at some point. We'll get to the wall. But getting to there, we had other things, including the opener. What was the opener, Tim?
Jason Jordan taking on The Miz for the Intercontinental title match. I floated it concerning Apollo Crews. Rocky, you and I were going back and forth. Crowd absolutely dead. No reaction for Jason Jordan at all whatsoever. And by extension, very little reaction for this match in its entirety.
We've talked about this before. We'll talk about it for a very long time. People, since the draft, when American Alpha came up, were clamoring for more TV time for American Alpha.
Not for Jason Jordan.
There's a reason why Jason Jordan was down in developmental for as long as he was. Because alone, he's not charismatic enough to get himself over. That's his major problem. He does not have the charisma to be on this level. This is why when you have someone like Chad Gable to balance it out, it worked. They were a great team, Omega.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you need that sometimes. You need the two-man group. You need the straight man. You need someone they can bounce off of. It doesn't work. Jason Jordan, without anyone to play off of, is just...
uncharismatic.
Vanilla.
And Kurt Angle does not help his cause whatsoever.
No, it hurts.
You know, I'm thinking that Vanilla is getting a bad rap.
See, I remember season one, Tough Enough, I got pissed off at Al Snow for calling someone Vanilla, because I was like, Vanilla tastes great. Fuck you. But you know what?
It has its uses.
It'd be nice if it had sprinkles or maybe a little caramel swirl, something in there. No, this is straight up generic. Jason Jordan is generic.
Butter pecan toffee swirl vanilla.
See, that's not generic. That's not Jason Jordan.
So I don't know. They're going to keep trying, and I don't know how long they're going to keep trying for, and I also don't know how long it's going to take before they realize it ain't working. But with Jason Jordan, sorry kids, but it ain't working.
It's not working. The match itself, it was okay. Technically, it was a fine match. Not complaining about that. It's you're pushing a performer, and he's not getting over. That's the problem. The one cool spot of the match, the overhead belly-to-belly onto Miz and Axel, that was cool. Played a part in the ending when Jordan was running wild. Bo came on the top rope, got knocked off of it. He got shoved. Jordan then got cheap shotted by Curtis and skull crushing finale. Later, it's over.
And there's good spots in the match. I like the rolling Northern Lights. Like, there's good moves there.
He's athletically gifted, is Jason Jordan. No one's denying that. The charismatic part is where he's lacking, and it's not getting himself over.
Yeah.
And the problem is, The Miz wasn't able to carry him as far as that goes, as far as getting him over. There are two different types of, carrying. You can carry a weaker wrestler to make him look like a better wrestler. You can carry a, Jason Jordan type vanilla wrestler to make him look more charismatic. Miz didn't do it.
And Miz tried.
Jason doesn't need the first kind because, like we say, we've been saying it. He's got the tools. He's got the ability. He's got the ring ability. He's just got no connection with the crowd.
And that's a shame. And I was honestly surprised they not put the belt on him. Mm-hmm. Because the way they've been pushing him down our throats.
I was sure he was going to get the title.
I was sure he was getting the belt tonight. It made sense.
For a couple of different reasons, yeah.
They put him in the opener, too. That's where you make the big, big splash opening match.
That's where you're supposed to make the big splash. Here it is, and I've said it ad infinitum. It doesn't have to be a pay-per-view. It's just a big show. Your first match of the night, the curtain jerker, if you will, on a big stack card, something you want to get people hyped for, you have to put on. The very first match has to be just about match of the night candidate, 9 times out of 10. This is coming from somebody who has booked wrestling. I've booked shows that we've had as solid shows, but it wasn't anything special. And I've had to arrange the schedule so we have a good match, then the letdown, then the good match, then the letdown, then the good match. Then I've booked big shows where you've had to get the crowd hyped. and it's the first match that gets them hyped. And then it's up to the other guys, the rest of the guys, to keep the crowd at or near that level of intensity and for the entire night to lead into your main event.
And this is the part that did not help him.
You know,
they sent Renee Young into the ring.
Oh, no.
To cut a promo.
Oh, no.
Really weak-ass promo. It did not help.
He's disappointed. He doesn't respect The Miz. I want a rematch. They chant, "You suck at my father, Kurt Angle." But The Miz, you really do suck.
Yeah, that's really
cool. No, Jason, they chanted, "You suck to you tonight."
Yep. That, even if they had a crowd that was pro-Jason Jordan, the promo was awful.
Yeah.
He didn't have the crowd on his side. Someone in the back should have called an audible. They didn't. And this is what happened. End of story.
There is no immediate fix for this Jason Jordan situation. What can you do?
Find him a tag team partner who's white and has long hair.
Who isn't doing anything on his current brand.
Oh, wait. They already replaced. Anyway.
The only thing you can do at this point is to run a story where you find out on some Monday Night Raw that he faked whatever paternity test they discovered, and turns out he did it just to get ahead.
And even that, I don't even know. It's the only thing you got. But
yeah, see, it's the only direction at this point.
But it's not going to help him.
It's not. It's going to give him heel heat, but he's already got heat just because no one cares. Like, the Miz was over as hell tonight just because the crowd couldn't bring themselves to give a fuck about Jason.
There are different types of heat that a wrestler can bring. There's heel heat, which is what every heel wants, which is what every booker wants a heel to have. There's something that, with the odd exception, generally speaking, promoters and bookers refuse to recognize, and that's what we call X-Pac heat. And then there's the negative heat, which is lack of reaction. Now,
well, that's no heat.
Well, that's a type of heat. It's apathetic heat. It's totally away, because at least with what we call X-Pac heat, at least the crowd's still reacting.
Yeah, well, that's age old things. Like, the worst reaction is no reaction.
Yeah, but it's still a type of heat.
It's ice cold, I feel, but okay.
When your heater is broken, this is a type of heat. It's the ice cold heat you get. Anyway. But it's semantics at that point, but we all get the point Tim's trying to make.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing that makes, that would make a guy like me or Vince or, whoever cringe. That is just, that's the dreaded.
Because you look at Jason Jordan, because it's the match now on the replay. He has the body. He has the skill set. He's everything Vince McMahon looks for in a performer. Just doesn't have it. It's a problem.
Nasty. So, but anyway, so there it is. Of course, tomorrow night on Raw, Miz is opening the show and Miz TV returns. I wonder what's going to happen.
We'll get to that. We'll get that.
It's a little obvious if you haven't figured it out, but for those of you who haven't been able to figure out it, we'll explain it to you a little bit down the road. Yeah.
What's next, Tim?
Finn Balor, as Finn Balor and not the Demon, faces Bray Wyatt. And, of course, before the bell even rings, Bray attacks Finn from behind. Perfect heel strategy. Great idea.
I thought it was great.
Well, look,
great
he
booking.
Knocked Finn out of the match. Finn can't compete.
And then he challenges Finn's manhood. That was awesome. Great storytelling, great booking to start this match. It's exactly what you needed. I thought they told a great story in that. And I thought the two of them worked their asses off and had a really good match. They worked over Finn's ribs. I thought everything was good. Finn the man, sold for Bray Wyatt's spookiness.
We keep talking ring psychology. This match had it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, love him or hate him, call him boo and squee whenever he comes on your TV. Or, you make him the new face of fear and the guy sucks and blah, 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 blah. Bray is incredible with ring psychology.
He's very talented. He does not get the credit he deserves sometimes.
I agree with you completely, wholeheartedly. I'm not a huge Bray Wyatt fan, partly because of the way they've treated him. And it's not a case of I'm not a huge Bray Wyatt fan because I don't like Bray Wyatt, the character. I'm not a huge fan because I have not been... Now, I'm talking as a fan, not a booker here, or a promoter. I'm not a fan of Bray Wyatt because I haven't had real reason to invest in him. As that type of fan, I like to back a winner. I'm that kind of fan. I'll back the winner, and I'll back good wrestling. Bray's got it. Creative is not turning him, has not turned him into what he should be, what he could be, what he needs to be.
No.
As Bray Wyatt.
No, they haven't. They go there, they get you up there, and then they bring him back down. It's like, if they actually let him rise and let him stay at that point, which we thought when he became champion on SmackDown would have been it. But then he lost to Randy, and then he came back to Raw, and, you know, there's a glass ceiling on Raw, so, you know, there's only so far he can go at that point. Because you look at the character and what he does. There's a lot of good. There's some bad. And when they don't back him up with credibility, he loses it.
At this point in time, I don't think that Bray and Roman Reigns should be on the same brand.
No, they shouldn't.
No. And, that's not promoting Roman, and it's not dissing Bray. Bray could be, you know, the ultimate evil on SmackDown. Why don't you let him? I'll tell you why. They've got Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens is about to be pushed to the fucking moon like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
But they were pushing Bray in that direction, and that's the
problem.
And that was the thing. They were pushing him in the direction of being the top guy on that brand. It got to WrestleMania. He was doing Orton. The show was being built around him, and the character was getting over. They were doing some weird shit with the burning of the houses and whatever, but it got people talking. It got people interested. They moved them back to Raw. You can only go so far because of Roman Reigns. Why? Because they're not pushing Roman Reigns to the point Roman Reigns needs to be.
They've been pushing him the wrong way, but we've been talking about that for 3 years.
But they're waiting.
They hit the glass ceiling that is, we have to keep the belt on Brock Lesnar because he's a huge draw, and we have to keep pushing Roman Reigns because he's not over enough yet to be the top guy.
Until he's more acceptable. He's starting to get that John Cena-type reaction, but the John Cena from the last 5 years reaction.
Starting?
Well, okay, he has been, but relatively speaking, it's new compared to what Cena's been going through for 10 years now.
For what? Yeah, for however long it's been since he went from SmackDown to Raw.
I think that the crowd who has turned on Cena started turning on Cena at the match he main evented against Shawn Michaels. I think that, when was that? Was that back in 2005, 2006? All I remember is Shawn Michaels came out and he's sitting on the top turnbuckle, and then John Cena comes out and his entrance was extended, but you heard Shawn Michaels say, "Let's get the shit show on the road. I've got a job to do." And he wasn't talking it's time to go to work. It means that he's doing the job.
That was
2005 before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was WrestleMania 22?
Okay. Four.
24? No.
I know it was 2006 or earlier because we were doing WTR at Bottoms Out Sports Pub.
No, it was 22.
23. It was 23.
23, because he filled in for Hunter on that one.
Uh-huh.
Because 24 was the Flair one. Anyway, which you can read about in the autobiography that we're giving away later on tonight.
Did you let a cat out of the bag?
We're giving away the book.
I know, we're giving away the book.
I already talked about it in an interview with Brian Steele.
I know, we already talked about it, and you had an interview on the Rack Radio Show on Thursday nights at 10 o'clock Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There you go.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Anyway, so back to this match.
That's how you chill.
Anyway, back to this match. They told a good story, and people will be saying, okay, Bray just lost the game on pay-per-view, but I threw this out at you. Was the point about this matchup for Bray winning? Or was the point Bray trying to find out what type of man Finn is as a story?
That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it was more about finding out what type of man Finn is. But that's just me. That's how I saw the story.
Okay, I'll tell you exactly from a booker's point of view what this was. This was Bray poking with a stick.
Yeah.
This was not Bray, I'm going to bury you and show you how to do it. This was Bray poking with a stick. He was poking the bear on purpose. He was looking for the weak spots. He was looking for Finn's vulnerabilities. He was looking to break Finn down. And he found a crack, questioning his manhood.
He did. And I thought they told the right story. Finn got the win. But I think we saw new intensity in Bray, new intensity in Finn. they had a pretty good match. That's my perspective. What do you think, Omega?
Yeah, it made for a decent match. I like the storytelling beforehand because it does give it a different vibe than their previous matches. You know, the question is, you know, can the man beat Braid or does he require the demon? So I like playing the story that, you know, there's enough heart in the man where he doesn't need to be, he doesn't need to be the demon to beat someone like Bray.
Because now it leads to where do you now go with Finn? Because you got to get him away from Bray now.
Yeah.
But again, there's a nice glass ceiling and we were getting to this point. And I'll go back to it really quick. Roman Reigns is being pushed at a certain level, but everything they've done with Roman should be Roman Reigns should be in a one-on-one match for the WWE Championship and he should be the champion. It should not wait till WrestleMania. You had him hot. You had him, got the most heat on him coming after at WrestleMania. And now you're at this point where you're still waiting to capitalize on beating The Undertaker.
Right.
So everyone else underneath the top babyface on Monday Night Raw, Roman Reigns, that was all in quotations, everyone else is suffering because you can't get past Roman. So you got to find a place now for Finn. And now you look at this roster. Who's next for Finn?
See, WWE... Part of, go ahead. Sorry. Oh, wait.
There is part of me that feels like the eventual plan for Finn, and the eventual, like, what you eventually have to do is get him back toward the Universal title. Yes, it's, you know, there is that roadblock of, you know, Roman Reigns, and we need to get Roman Reigns over so no one else is allowed to get over until he's over. But at the same time, you do have to move people along. You do have to keep them doing different things. We saw Braun go from Roman to Lesnar, and you know we never have the other half of Finn's comeback story, which is trying to get back the Universal Championship he never really lost. So maybe your plan to get everyone all the way to the Royal Rumble, it seems to be like Roman's going to tie in with The Miz for a while, which, you know, that's a 3-on-1 situation. You can actually make Roman, look, it's going to be an overcome the odds crap.
Or is it a 3-on-1 situation? Hmm.
Here it is. I'm sick and tired of, that type of setup. I'm tired of it.
No. It's one of those things where the Miz Taraj will eventually fuck over matches so much. They'll go, okay, that's enough of your bullshit. Now you got to do it 1-on-1. This is a cage match situation or, some other stipulation to where they cannot interfere. You know, that's the eventuality when you have any kind of heel faction like this that survives by chicanery.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe the end result here is, to go those routes to get, Just for now, just so they have something to do, just so they can have feuds until it's time for Brock and Roman to finally face up, and maybe we finally put the belt on Roman and keep it there for a while.
For the fourth time.
Maybe.
And
it might work this time.
And props to Omega for using the word chicanery.
I learned good.
Someone go get Kane Kidd's cookies and give it to Omega.
Omega deserves King Kitten's cookies.
Yes, Lamans. We'll get there. Anyway.
I just got kicked out of chat. What was Lamans bitching
We'll get
about?
There. He's not bitching. He just brought up something we're waiting to talk about. He picked up where we were going.
Okay.
I think the next thing you do with Finn is the Beast versus the Demon.
On that point, that's probably Survivor Series. You got a month in between. What's next? Another match with Bray?
You guys are going to hate me, but I would hold off and pull the trigger until next year. Finn Balor would, back in the title picture.
No. Not God. It's too long. It's too long, and you have to bring him too far down the card in order to give him things to do for that long.
There is a reason for why I say that. Now, I don't mean a year from now. I mean, like, not until 2018, just after WrestleMania. The reason being, they've got so many balls in the air and they've got so many storylines in play this whole thing with Brock Lesnar and this whole thing with Roman Reigns is supposed to come to a head at WrestleMania. Let Roman win the title from Brock. He's the guy who put down Undertaker. He can be the guy to put down Brock because that's the way WWE is trying to book him. But here's the thing. Let the Demon take his title back from Roman.
No.
I get it.
I'm not saying this is my booking. I'm saying I see the WWE doing this.
If you turn Roman heel during his title reign, fine. But you're not going to see them do that because that's the last thing they want. No, I think your match is Brock versus Demon Balor, and I don't, you know, see, he's not going to get the title back, but you're at least going to pick up on that storyline. And as for what to do beforehand, it's probably going to be a number one contendership feud with Braun.
Now, let me just, seeing as we're talking about this traffic jam for the top tier, the main event here, what was the number one reason why people were so taken by the Attitude Era? What was the biggest deal the Attitude Era had going for it once it started kicking WCW's ass?
Choppy, choppy, pee-pee?
No, it wasn't Val, Venus, and his mythological penis.
But that's what everyone talks about. No.
Sable no, with hands painted on her tits.
That wasn't it either. It was an addition. But the biggest thing the WWE Attitude Era had going for it was the strongest mid-card you have ever seen. And their mid-card propped up the top tier. And then you had the stratosphere that the mid-carders would break out of and into to compete with the likes of Shawn and Stone Cold and The Rock and Triple H.
It was those.
Let's face it, those were the four guys on the main event.
Those were the mid-carders who turned main eventers.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But that's also an era where they were treating the mid-card with enough respect and reverence that you could expect someone to come up from the mid-card and challenge, and it might be credible. You know, that was the era where someone like The Hurricane could actually go into a feud with The Rock, and not only could you believe it when he actually does get the pinfall on The Rock, it's one of the most entertaining things in the world.
And you actually believe it when he jumps off camera and the
everyone looks up.
Wrestlers look up.
But here's the thing.
I love that.
Here's the thing about that whole era. It's like you had a long-term vision, but you were worrying about the short term at the same point. And you would do things like title changes that would happen, but you always get back to the long-term vision at some point. Here, we're sticking to the course a lot where you don't sort of break through with other champions.
Now, here's my point, what I'm alluding to. Mm-hmm. This current crop of creative is attempting to emulate the creative that they had during the Attitude Era, and they're trying to duplicate it. They're not, they're missing something. They're missing bits and pieces and parts, and we've been pointing it out. There's absolutely nothing wrong with a mid-carder jumping out and taking on a main eventer. And again, it's not for the title or anything like that, but it's believable. And you're thinking, just, you know, you're talking about it's believable that Shane Helms beats The Rock.
But here's the whole thing. Same time. Tonight's main event was a mid-carder jumping out of the mid-card into the main event. Because 6 months ago, he was just the dude roaming around, or 8 months ago, he was just a dude roaming around beating up nobodies.
Yeah, but at the same time, he basically forced their hand by being good in the ring, aside from just being another big body.
Which is why the main event was more painful than it should have been.
And speaking about painful, anybody here have a toothache?
Good. You should continue on with that. Just do it.
Okay, yeah. The reason I ask is because one WWE superstar certainly has one hell of a toothache tonight after his tag team match. And we're talking, of course, about Sheamus and Cesaro taking on defending tag champs Seth and Dean, two-thirds of the Shield.
Okay, as you mentioned this, the tweet just came across my tweet deck, and it's like, ooh, that's nasty. Anyway.
What tweet came across?
They have exclusive. In this graphic video, WWE Cesaro receives 3 stitches following an injury to his teeth.
They stitched his teeth back together.
Or stitched his gums. Yeah. Ew. Oh, God. Seeing close-ups. Anyway.
But this is something that I want... I can rant about this because I brought it up and I bitched about this and I complained about it when they first changed the goddamn ring posts. And I even said, somebody's going to get his fucking face broken on those goddamn things. Go back to the traditional ring posts.
Now, you'd think those big covers would actually make it less likely that something like this would happen.
Oh, the problem is it's galvanized steel that they have on that.
That's stupid.
Yes.
But it all could have been avoided if he got his hands up.
And at the same time, it screws up a wrestler who's used to having those ring posts. If you're going to keep them the way they are currently because you want the hidden cameras buried in them, then make the goddamn things taller like their traditional posts.
It's not even the hidden cameras in them. It's the LED surrounds.
Well, yeah,
everything needs an LED screen.
That shit, yeah.
Because they had the hidden cameras in the post, and that's awkward. It's all hell. Anyway.
The problem is it'll throw a wrestler off when he gets thrown into the corner, and he's got to figure out, okay, well, hey, wait a minute. We don't have this in training. This isn't down over here when I go for practice. We don't have to deal with that. We got the standard post. And you don't learn how to block properly because your complete spatial orientation is fucked up. And this is why Sheamus lost his teeth.
Cesaro lost his teeth.
That's what I meant.
But here's the thing about that.
How much are we drinking tonight so far?
Let's see. This is almost done, and I'm ready for another one, lad.
See, you had a question in Omega. You got that anyway. Mm. So, here's the funny thing. Who has benefited the most from these LED ring posts has been Cesaro. Why? He's done some cool moves from the top of them.
This is true.
So it finally came back to haunt him. I did all these cool moves off of it. Now I smack myself and I lose a couple of
fun. In a twisted way, it's ironically funny.
Et tu, light post.
Omega gets another Kingkin's cookie.
Only because of the Caesar reference.
Exactly. So, this was a good match.
It was a fantastic match.
Oh, yeah.
It was really good. Dean sold like a son of a bitch, and I'm telling you, mad props to Cesaro for continuing on. Jeez. And even taking the bumps to the head and the face after getting his...
The finish is him getting bro kicked out of the ring.
Yep.
It seems like every pay-per-view now, Cesaro does something that makes me respect the hell out of him. Like, the beach ball wasn't enough, but now, like, yeah, he gets his face busted in, and he keeps going.
Oh, the beach ball, that was classic, old school heel. That was awesome.
Yeah, you never see it anymore, though. Like, you don't expect a WWE guy to jump into the crowd and rip someone's beach ball away from
this
him.
This is true.
That was fucking awesome.
Yeah, but just after he got tagged back into the ring after the injury, the kick that he laid on the side of Ambrose's face, I swear to God, that was a receipt. I was watching it really closely, and that looked a lot more solid than it usually does.
Would he give a receipt for a spot like that where it's mostly because he didn't have his hands up, though?
I don't think it was almost so much a receipt other than, oh my God, I'm pissed off, so someone's going to feel my pain. And
which means that the guy that you were in the ring with when you hurt yourself or got hurt one way or the other, he's the one who's going to get it back. That's just the way it is. Again, old school locker room.
He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He was just the dude in the ring.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's going to feel, here's a boot to your face.
It wouldn't have mattered who was in the ring. Whoever was in the ring would have gotten the boot to the face with a little bit. And I'm telling you, there is a mustard on that kick.
I'm sorry, look, I'll apologize for this later, but right now I fucking need this. Bam!
I'm going to go buy you a beer later. We'll be cool. So here's my foot.
You know, we haven't heard a lot from Mike lately, but he can back me up on this. If you're a wrestler, you're in the ring, shit happens, your adrenaline is pumping, and it's understood that whether the other guy's at fault or not, the other guy's going to feel it.
Yeah, that's actually true. Because once you go in, once the match is over, and once you go into the backstage, it's like, oh my god, it hurts. And then you're like, so I'm gonna need to go to the hospital. Like, not now, but like right now. So.
And still, your WWE Raw Tag Team Champions Ambrose and Rollins, one of the awesome spots in this match, the white noise on Ambrose. And then the powerbomb to Rollins from the middle rope by Cesaro.
That was great. Down onto
Ambrose.
That's one of those spots where it's like, I don't care if he wasn't doing his finisher. That should end a match, because that's fucking nasty.
It was nasty. It was creative. It should have been a finish.
But all in all, fantastic match. Really, it was. That said, how many more matches have we got left to talk about? Oh, my goodness. We got the women. We got John Cena, Roman Reigns, Enzo Amore, Neville, and then the main event, Brock versus Braun. Before we get to the rest of that, we're going to take our first, last, and only time out of the evening. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this, tell you who won Pick'em, and give away an autographed book.
About when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
The Rack Extra gets a little Bella in the form of Total Bellas. Join us each week as we review the latest happenings going on in the world of the Bellas.
I feel like I'm trapped, like
you're trapped.
Living in a padded cell.
Check out the Rack Extra, Total Bellas Weekly at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
What is the greatest television theme song of all time? CB Radio has decided.
It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard every Saturday night midnight-ish Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Addams Family, their house is a museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream. The Addams Family.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns.
Maybe I have one more ass kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe
one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're going to put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your...
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, because someone doesn't know the word go.
It's about 50-50 whether or not he gets the memo.
We're streaming live on TuneIn Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. What's wrong with this music?
Don't you guys just love it when I just sit here and not say anything and listen to you talk?
Yeah, it's you rushing back now going, oh shit, I have to talk now. Because someone doesn't know math. Anyway, welcome back.
I was busy. Shut up.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back, people. We missed you. Where'd you go? We've been here the whole time. Where were we?
Time for the Women's Championship match. Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Nia Jax, Sasha Banks, and Emma. This matchup was fantastic. All five women deserve all the cookies. This was awesome.
Nia Jax is the real MVP.
Nia was really good. She was made to look really strong.
For taking that bump,
couple
she's
bumps.
The real MVP.
Couple bumps. She took a couple good bumps.
Well, the you know, four-person team of powerbomb on the outside.
Yeah. Then yeah. Gold star.
All the gold stars. Yeah, this was an awesome match. It was put together fantastically. Everyone got to shine in this matchup. Nia was completely over with the crowd.
Yeah. Finally.
So to describe the spot we were talking about, first they did a rumble spot where all four girls, couldn't call it, it was only three, but it was all four, dumped Nia out of the ring. So she's getting back up, and then they set up for Emma had the guts to attempt a powerbomb on Nia.
Mm-hmm.
Then Bailey went, all right, I want to help you. And she can't do it. Then Alexa and Sasha, who are in a ring, they come. They do like a running baseball kick or whatever. And it's a double powerbomb, double kick. Nia takes a nasty fall on the outside. People are wondering, oh shit, is Nia really hurt? Thankfully, she's okay. She got right up. She got back up later.
She channeled her inner Strowman.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when they get to a Nia-Alexa, the real match should be really good. Because the teases, what they did Monday, and the teases in this matchup were good. Nia hit a nice, double Samoan on Sasha and Alexa.
The old Ryback shell shock jobber spot.
Mm-hmm.
But what she did was, what I liked about it, was she bent. She took a nice little knee and took a dip. I loved it. And if nobody caught early in the match when they were doing stats, they even put her weight down. That's confidence. I'm proud of you, Nia.
What was the weight?
242 pounds.
That's a first. They don't,
yeah, they almost never announce weight for women.
If you read Nia Jax's bio, or if you actually give a fuck about Nia, Nia Jax, she's had a problem with, you know, her weight, and she was insecure about it. Now she just doesn't give a fuck, and she's like, I'm in love with the skin you're in. I'm in, you know. Mm-hmm. Her theme song, I'm Not Like Most Girls, it has a meaning to it. So with that, that song kind of, you know, takes it to heart for her. And like I said, I'm proud of her, because Nia's really beautiful. She's athletic. She's beautiful and amazing. And we've seen the stuff that she can do now. And this is just the beginning for her.
She's on the rise. But tonight,
she's getting better.
Tonight was not her night. They had some nice teases where Bailey and Sasha each broke up situations where the other was going to win. Some nice subtle teases there. Emma got some good moments in this matchup, but in the end, a DDT to Bailey after being knocked into Emma. Alexa Bliss is still your Raw Women's Champion. I thought it was the right outcome. What do you think, Omega?
For what's coming, yes, it was the right outcome. I don't like these multi-women matches where basically every credible challenger gets put into the same match. It feels diva era. I mean, the performances in these matches are far better than that era. But it feels like they're just there as an excuse to give them all something to do rather than properly built reasoning. In this case, it works because of what's on the way. Because I'm sorry, Alexa, you're doing great. You're going to die. Like a lot.
I don't know if it would be at TLC, but she's going to die at some point. I think it would be too early to do that right away, but her death is coming.
It's
coming.
You know who's coming. Like, there's no there's no stopping this, okay?
No ifs, ands, or buts.
It's only a matter of when, not if. But I think most people are shocked Emma did not take the pin.
Well, when they added Bailey to the match, like, oh, fuck.
I should mention, this was the key to victory for later. Anyway, up next, John Cena, Roman Reigns. So,
who's going to be hated more in this match, boys and girls?
You both suck. You both suck. Cena is the man. Why? He heard the crowd and was like, okay, bye. And he left. Started to leave. I thought that was fantastic. His improv skills on that, perfect.
It's almost like he was taking acting classes.
Right?
No kidding.
So this was brought up. Was Roman Reigns working babyface in this matchup? No. He was heel.
He was fucking heel.
He was complete heel. And he started, as the match progressed, ate it up. which is something he hasn't done before. And it's hopefully, Tim, the direction they continue with him.
Yeah, we've been talking about this. It's like it's been like beating a dead horse.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is this horse now going to rise as a zombie? Because what we saw tonight in this match, what we saw from Roman, is what we need to see. What we to get Roman accepted.
Now, the one thing we do not need to see from Roman Reigns is doing a spear through an announce table and spiking your head.
Some people were glad to see that.
Some people were, but...
But don't do that. Don't hurt yourself. What the fuck? He spiked himself.
He did, and that's what they were worried about that one time. Remember, we talked about it when they did the ambulance spot where he was running out of the ambulance for the spear. They were worried about him, you know, spiking his head. He spiked his head on this one. No questions about it. And the announcers have finally caught on to it as well, because you saw it. He spiked his head.
He could throw a decent spear, he'd be okay.
Mm-hmm. The match, to me, this is just a me, Omega, needed the WrestleMania building. It needed the atmosphere. This was a too small of a venue for this match.
They kept calling it a WrestleMania caliber match, and that's absolutely correct. I mean, you've got the two most overbooked guys in the history of the WWE. You know, it's the two guy. You know, it is the, you know, the heir apparent to the Cena, you know, legacy of carrying the company. It should have this grand epicness to it. It should be as many people in that arena as possible, because that match should be able to fill any arena you want it to. I understand where Cena is career-wise. You have to get the match out of the way when you know you can get it. I understand that with what they're doing with Brock, with Roman, the timing of this might not have been perfect. The venue for it might not have been perfect, but it's what they had available when they knew it was time to do it.
I've been thinking this and saying this for weeks. John Cena is running out of things to do in WWE. He's now come out and said that his time is running up. He doesn't know how much longer he can do this. He'll still be around for a while, but he's now the Undertaker. He'll come in, he'll do his match,
and he'll bugger off again.
He'll go away for a long time.
He's a special event.
And that's okay. After 15 years,
he deserves it.
He deserves that.
But, he's earned it.
But they're trying to get all his big matches, because we, in the last 8 weeks, we've run through John Cena, Shinsuke Nakamura, and John Cena, Roman Reigns. They've done John Cena versus Samoa Joe on the house shows because they were getting them in. Because there's not much left Cena can do full-time, part-time, anytime, because he's too busy elsewhere.
So then who's left?
Who's left for what?
If they're trying to get the main, you know, the big matches for John Cena, who's left?
That's kind of the problem you run into. It's Cena. He's pretty much done just about everything you could want him to do.
I forgot to mention, they also did Cena Braun 2 weeks ago on Raw.
Doesn't count.
No, it does, because that's a pay-per-view main event they could have sold for.
That still counts.
Yeah.
But it would have.
Nope, they burned Cena and AJ Styles.
But at least they worked
that. That's your company man feud.
Yeah, but at least they worked that into a program.
Yeah, well, yeah.
AJ Styles was gold. Cena, okay. Cena AJ Styles was gold. Kevin Owens John Cena was gold. Let me see. Who else for John Cena was gold? The Rock and John Cena. I mean, come on now.
We have to be honest here. Like, a lot more of Cena's feuds turn out great than bad.
Yeah, but because he makes everybody look like $1 million. And then he learned, and it's like he's like Pokemon. You learn a new move every match. No more 5 moves of Doom.
No, no. In Pokemon, you only know 4 moves at a time.
And isn't in Pokemon you evolved into different things?
He sure did.
His moves are now evolving into multiple. Now it went from 1 AA to rolling AAs.
Jesus. Roll out AA, John Cena.
He has a top rope AA. or middle rope AA, and now it's a rolling AA into another AA.
It's going to be a
none of AA. Which could put Roman away tonight.
No. Nope.
This felt like Cena discovered what it's like to be booked into a match against John Cena.
And here's to tie it all together. The rolling AAs beat AJ Styles. The middle rope AA beat AJ Styles. But they couldn't beat Roman. That's it. Roman Reigns won. Felt like it was out of nowhere. The match had a big match atmosphere that needed a bigger building to me.
The one thing that'll upset some people is John delivering all those attitude adjustments that only took two spears to beat him.
Well, that's Roman's spear. For some reason they book it stronger than Goldberg's ever was.
Yeah.
Stop.
I'm sorry.
They are booking it stronger than Goldberg's, Mike. It's true.
Continue.
Then they did the thing they shouldn't have done. Cena raised the hand of Roman Reigns.
Roman should have not let him. Roman should have just walked out of that ring. The only problem is they don't want to turn Roman full on heel, and that would have done it.
And then you heard Roman Reigns is on the top of the ramp. Basically, he says he respects John Cena. Babyface Roman, Monday Night Raw. It's a thing.
No, because the... God.
Every little child is going to boo Roman Reigns, and maybe the adults are going to cheer Roman Reigns. Why? Because it got rid of John Cena. But I think we all know what's going to happen.
Did you see the look on that kid's face in the crowd?
Oh my God.
Every fiber of my being was watching the end of that match with Cena. You know, Cena raises Roman's hand, and okay, there's a little quick ear-to-ear talk with him. Everything in me wanted Roman to head to the ropes, step out, step right back in, and Superman punch him.
Or just, spirit him or something.
Just beat the shit. Yeah, just lay the fucker out.
Send Cena off to Hollywood the right way. Because then, if you laid him out, Roman's now the guy who put out John Cena. He could be cheered, could be booed, whatever it was. But it gives Cena a reason to come back. But nope.
He's not finished with you.
But nope. Cena on Raw Talk is like, yeah, I said stuff to him. He knows what he has to do. He has the torch. Let him run.
I mean, at least he was blunt with it. He was like, all right, look, you beat me, nigga. Yeah. What you gonna do with it? You gonna fuck up? or you gonna let it blaze?
Let it blaze, Mom.
For all that is holy, he better not fuck this up.
Well, I hate to say it, but WWE is kind of, yeah. At this pay-per-view, like you said, the 10 o'clock hour is where shit gets stupid.
Booking of Roman Reigns, they're going to continue to put him over, but he has to deliver.
And that's fine. But the thing of it is that, and Tim, you can correct me if I'm wrong, okay. It takes two to tango. In a match, it takes two. When you want to hold yourself up, you got to have the person that you're facing that's on the same page as you, ring psychology, and all of that shit. Because just one shitty fuck up, and even if you don't clean it up, you're fucked.
So tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw, we have Miz TV with special guest Roman Reigns.
Da-dum, da-dum.
That means Roman Reigns is going to be Intercontinental Champion.
This is what we call your stall feud.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you guys catch what Miz said in that promo?
You're welcome.
Before that, Mike.
Before that.
Sorry.
Can I just say one thing?
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
This might help people with recall. There's been talk about a potential reunion happening on Raw. That's all I'm going to say.
He mentioned Roman and his friends.
Mm-hmm. The Usos? No, I'm just kidding.
Smart ass.
that's family. Remember, that's family.
We don't know that. That's not friends. It's family.
Allegedly.
Dude, all the Samoans are related.
Except for
They're
Joe.
They're all cousins.
Except for Joe.
For Joe.
Well, no, there's a relation and they're distantly. He's like the fifth cousin.
That's the move.
But it is looking like the band getting back together.
The NWO back? Oh.
Yeah. Roman Reigns is Hulk Hogan. You pick the other two who will be Scott Hall and Kevin Nash.
You're the first person to ever make that comparison.
No. I would have said Roman Reigns was Kevin Nash.
Thank you.
But no, but he can't be. Roman's the star of the group. You already got your tag champs.
That just means Roman makes the Wolf Pack eventually.
Yeah.
So which one is next, Luger?
Oh no.
Stop it. We can always do black and white and who's Scott Norton.
Sting's coming out of retirement, kids. Kidding. Don't take that seriously.
The 2K18 ad? Fucking awesome.
Cool.
It's all I'm gonna say. It's fucking awesome.
Isn't it cool when you have one of Snoop Dogg's relatives to pull favors for you?
Exactly. So yeah, that's fucking awesome. more of 2K18 content coming over the next few weeks. Anyway,
speaking about 2K, at one point there, Snoop Dogg's kind of sort of sounded like Ice-T.
You know what,
Mike, you had to pick up on that. Yeah, you know I'm right, and it's pissing you off.
So, Cruiserweight title's on the line.
Enzo and Neville.
Oh, we can talk about this now.
Yeah, we talked about this, but you know what? You got a rant, so go ahead, bitch, brother.
Hold on. Before he does. Oh,
wait.
We need to say it all three times. Enzo, Enzo, Enzo.
home.
That's not the line.
That's the line that took him out of the model and back home.
No. Remember.
He said home.
No. Remember. Final scene. Everyone was trying to get him. Everyone was trying to recite Beetlejuice again. He kept zipping up their mouths and making their mouths go away. Shut them up.
Well, that was at the end. But also, okay, I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I'm also right.
So,
should we take the leash off him?
No, we should explain what we were talking about.
Okay.
Enzo was dressed as Beetlejuice. Why?
We presume that, or he thought he was refereeing this match.
Why? I don't know. So, Mike, you had an opinion?
Opinion?
Here come. Fasten your safety belts. Gonna be a bumpy ride.
So, first and foremost, what the fuck were you thinking of wearing some Beetlejuice bullshit walking down to a title match? Granted, yes, it's Los Angeles, California. But, nigga, what the fuck? Didn't make it so bad. You got your overalls on, and then you got a shit stain. On your ass.
Always
does.
That's when he found out he was winning.
Oh my god. And so, boom. Bell rings. Ding, ding, ding. Cool. What the fuck was going on? It was like a one-sided ass whooping.
As it should have been.
Touche. That's what it should have been. Okay, cool. Now we're talking about you not ready, blah, 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 blah. First of all, the jumping DDT. Gotta give Enzo his props. That was nice.
And for people worried about Neville on that one, watch the bump.
Yeah,
he went. He went straight down flat.
Yeah, he's okay. And then it's like Neville super kicked him, threw him all the way around from one side of the arena to the next, one side of the ring to the next, ring post, ring steps. This nigga was using everything on God's green fucking earth. And then Enzo Amore decides to be that asshole. All right, you know what? Yeah, you know, I think I'll wait till 10. And the son, what does this motherfucker do? Takes the title, brings it in the ring. Thinking he about to do something? Okay, cool. Give me this. Let's do this. Just end it right here, right now, Enzo. And then he takes it from and then the ref takes it. Puts it back, and what does he do?
Hello.
He kicks him in the dick. Not, 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 not invisibly, not Ric Flair style. Just straight, that's my purse, I don't know you. Kick in the dick.
Mike has just described all of Enzo Amore's offense in this match.
That's pretty much correct.
And then I'm sitting here, eye twitching, food dropped on my floor. One, two, three, this nigga is crazy.
Now, here's the thing.
Yes.
You're going to hate this.
Oh, I am.
This was perfect storytelling.
It was. Which, another, that three reasons why I'm mad. One, perfect storytelling. Two, kicking the dick.
But that's why it was perfect storytelling.
But
here's why. It called back to 205 Live, because that's how 205 Live ended, with Enzo kicking Neville in the dick. And there's one thing he could do, because it wasn't a match. He can kick him in the dick.
So that's what he did. So he kicks him in the crown jewels?
That's what he did on 205 yep. Live. It called back to it on the pay-per-view. Neville knew it was coming, still fell for it. He lost his belt because he knew he was better, and he got too cocky, and he lost.
It's like what Luke Skywalker said to the Emperor, your overconfidence is your weakness.
And that was Neville's weakness in this match. He was too overconfident. And Endo is going to be an awful cruiserweight champion. We all get this. But they told the good story.
It was a great way to get what they wanted over. And they did it. And they did it perfectly. Now here's the thing. Why are you giving a guy who is obviously the most hated guy in the current locker room the cruiserweight title?
Because he's popular as hell and 205 Live needs attention.
But he...
Nailed it!
But he isn't a cruiserweight, a real cruiserweight.
He's not a real fucking wrestler.
Thank you.
Okay, what did Neville say? He's an entertainer. And Neville's right. He's not a wrestler, he's an entertainer. And he's goddamned entertaining. And no. That's how he's over.
He's Moppy given human form.
There you go.
No, he's Colin Delaney.
But he still has his Moppy hair.
Yeah, people are going to be tuning into 205 now because he's the cruiserweight champion. It's happening, like it or not.
Because here's the thing. We're coming up on 1 year for 205 Live. It's sink or swim at this point.
Their ratings are static.
If you don't get it over, don't improve it, it could fade away.
They've gotten the tiniest little bump since Enzo got put on 205, and this whole thing, we talked about this way back, guys. Enzo is now make or break, sink or swim. He's basically been given his marching orders. You make 205 Live popular or you're gone.
You have to make 205 Live popular. You have to get that brand over because they can... I wouldn't assume they signed all these cruiserweights to multiple-year deals. They probably have a lot of rollover. And if you're down where you need to make some budget cuts,
bye-bye.
You can cut a television program and all its talent. Will that happen? I don't think so. But it's something to think
about. See, here it is. I don't generally pay much attention to 205 Live. It's on too late for me for the most part, most of the time. When I gotta get up first thing in the morning and drag my ass into work, unfortunately. Secondly, when I do have the opportunity, I usually watch something else.
Hockey.
That too. But, I'm marathoning Sons of Anarchy right now and I'm halfway through season 5. I can turn this off and watch 205 Live on demand, or I can keep watching Sons of Anarchy. Well, I haven't seen Sons of Anarchy, since it went off the air. I think I'll keep watching Sons of Anarchy. Oh, wait a minute. What? Enzo's a champ? What the hell? Click. Okay, Enzo's the champ.
Will his reign be long? Doubtful. But it's going to get people talking. And that's...
Wait. No. People are already talking.
Oh, I know people are already talking. And that's now, the point.
Don't get me wrong. A lot of people are going to be like even more turned off because Enzo's a champion. A lot of people are not going to be persuaded because Enzo's a champion. But a lot of people are.
Oh no, not the fans. Not the fans. The wrestlers.
Here's the thing. Are they going to tune in hoping it's a train wreck? Rubberneck?
Yeah, okay. So here's the I know where Mike's going. Some of the cruiserweights are talking. That's called an angle.
I understand this, but it's quite hilarious to me.
I'm just saying, it's called an angle.
It's quite hilarious to me.
It's funny, because I'm seeing it on Twitter. Look at all the different wrestlers.
There you go. You can take a look-see. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. So it's out there. People are, you know, they're pushing it. Yeah. It's a thing.
Huh. It's a big thing.
So, we'll see what happens. But Enzo is your Cruiserweight Champion. Yep. It's a thing. So, support it, I guess. Or don't. Then we have a main event. Braun Strowman.
What the hell did you send, Mike?
It's a picture of... Wait, that's the wrong one. Please hold.
Because I just got a warning from my security device.
Sorry, guys. Oh. That's the right one. So what we're going to do, we're just going to... Yoink. There we go.
Yeah, it's the cruiserweights are mad that they're another one's the champ. Guess what?
Oh no, it's hilarious to me.
It's funny. Just be warned, people. You gotta stir things up, cause some controversy, and that's what they're doing. But
that's sweet that all of the cruiserweights are posting like that on Twitter, though.
From day one, we all knew this was the outcome. We all knew. Just what happens.
We knew, so, we just didn't want to believe.
Which is why now I go to my Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio. Pinned at the top, there's a poll running. Who do you want to be champion more? Who would you rather have as a champion? Enzo Amore or Jinder Mahal?
Jinder fucking Mahal.
And this is why I called you mean.
60% of the people are right now going with Jinder.
Vacant.
Not an option.
Shut up, old man.
Yeah, not an option.
If it is, you don't click any of them.
Yeah, if you don't vote, then you've voted.
Yeah.
None of the above.
Because after the week that Jinder has had, honestly surprised that he's getting as amount of voting votes as he's getting.
Poor Jinder.
He's had a week. Main event, Universal title, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman.
I never knew in all my life Brock Lesnar could get Brock Lesnar'd.
God damn, he looks small in that ring tonight, which is not something that happens with Brock.
Mm-mm.
Even with Goldberg in the ring, they looked mirror image.
Do you want to know why?
Braun's really big.
Braun's a mountain of a man. He's a monster among men.
He's a monster among men.
He's really, really huge. And he makes Brock look really, really tiny. I felt very underwhelmed.
And I feel disappointed in you for feeling underwhelmed. This match was exactly what you should have expected it to be.
The match itself was what it should have been. I wanted more of a fight. Because the build-up has been all about pull-aparts, brawling.
Yeah, but the whole thing has been about can Brock hang with somebody who's obviously twice as strong as him. And it was a squash match on Brock right up until the Kimura lock. And then that was supposed to be the turning point. And the only thing that I'm disappointed in was Braun didn't sell it enough. He should have sold it more.
Yeah, I guess. But I also felt this is a missed opportunity. Mm. We talk about this glass ceiling and the points they're trying to get. Braun Strowman is as over as he probably will ever be. At this point, not putting the belt on him is now hurting Braun Strowman.
Well, there's some people right now who are gonna look at Braun and think that Braun looks weak. The thing about it is, don't take it for the one match because they're not ending it at this one match tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see them fight again.
They're gonna fight again.
They're gonna fight again, whether you like it or not. Come on, Al.
And you know what? I want them to fight again. That being said, I got exactly what I was expecting, and yeah, I'm hoping for more, and here's where the rematch comes in. I'm hoping for more happening at the rematch. Put him in a cage.
The crowd wins.
Put him in a cage I think would be awful. Sell.
Or give him tables. Make it a tables match at TLC.
Well, Brock, this is bad news for people. Brock is not working TLC. So everyone's aware. So send in your complaint letters already and cancel your network subscriptions because Brock's not around for 4 weeks.
Until it's time to, like, forget about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
The same people who bitch and complain and moan and whine and cry about WWE not doing what they want WWE to do are the same people who week after week keep tuning in. That promo that Triple H cut a couple of years ago was absolutely right on the money and hilarious as shit, and they're still replaying it on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But
if they don't do what I want them to do, well, I'm going to go on Twitter and tweet about it. And if they keep doing it, my friend and I, we're going to stop watching.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you keep watching.
I just feel, to me, I think they hurt Braun in this loss. It took a while to get back from the first Roman loss. And now we're a second big loss for Braun.
But Braun didn't get injured and have to take 6 weeks off this time around.
Right.
No, the first loss to Roman was back before WrestleMania. It was the Fastlane show. This is the second really big loss. Those injuries, when Braun got hurt, Braun beat Roman that match. And then had to do the ridiculous stunts afterwards to get Roman back over. Because Roman took the loss. To me, building a monster character, two big losses, hurt. Because now he's just going to go back to beating up some people, and you're going to try to rebuild him again. But maybe I'm in the minority on that. I feel like if the end point was still Brock and Roman, Braun beating Brock now means the rematch would have been more important later, and Brock gets win back, you can go back to your collision course. Because whether Brock keeps the belt or not, it would still be a big deal for Brock and Roman at WrestleMania, no matter what. Even if it's a 2-month title reign. Something to give the guy credibility. That's me. What do you think, Omega?
Yeah, this isn't one of those. I wish I could felt better about the match.
You can't.
No. Like, Braun put on a good show for the first part of the match. But, you know, after that, it felt like, God, the F5 that finished it felt like there should have been, like, two more after it, at least.
It's the same finish they did with Joe, because it was one F5 and done. It's establishing that move.
I mean, yeah, it's establishing the move, but the move's been established. You know, we've also established that Braun can be in an ambulance crash and walk away. And you're telling me Brock's little merry-go-round finisher hits harder than that. I don't know. It's frustrating. Like, we speak a lot of times where it's like, well, even in a loss, this person looked good. You know, and I don't think Braun looked good in this match. You know, it's a hard thing when you have two guys like this that you want to protect them both. That's the problem. They're trying to protect two monsters to be indomitable. And it's a very, very fine wire to walk in order to make that work. And they fell off about three steps in. I don't know. This is a really hard thing to come back from.
I hated making this point on Thursday. I have to agree with Ryback. But it's like, it's the Ryback thing with Punk. Ryback was at his hottest against Punk. And if you were going to make the Ryback character, he should have beat Punk. He didn't, and there went the downfall of the monster. Whatever you say about Ryback as a wrestler, whatever, it doesn't matter. But when you're building it, that's the high point. You peaked. Braun is peaking as the monster, and he just slipped down. What do you do now? If beating up people is his main objective, then he's just a dude. If he's a champion beating up people, whole different story.
The only saving grace you have here is that the loss comes at Brock Lesnar. You know, the man is an earthquake made flesh, but that is still a very small avenue to gain any kind of security for, you know, for Braun. Thing is, I don't like that you've protected Brock, who is a part-timer who will leave the second your paycheck isn't big enough, for a guy who was born and bred in that company and is going to stick around and should be your new monster that you can bank on for a long time. Yeah, you know, I feel like the flavor of the month just got priority over the main course.
Pretty much, and that's why I said, if you want to continue with that main course, you can always go back to it. You're allowed to divert. And then we go back to the conversation about the Attitude Era. They would switch things up, always get you back where you needed to go. I understand their booking logic. I understand it all. But we got to get to the point of that main course. We're slowly getting there. I don't think the slow ride is the right ride. But I'm not the decision maker. Brock's your champ, everybody.
Well, I'm not terribly upset over that, but
I don't mind Brock as a champ. It's not.
I think he should have won by the skin of his teeth. Is what he should have done.
It's not Brock, because Brock's not the issue. It's Roman. Because you gotta get to Roman.
Even when Roman's not involved in the match, it's still Roman's fault.
Because it is. Because you're saving that big match. You're building to that. And until you get to that, you're just staying the course. And that's the problem. You had Joe who was hot, then he got hurt, he lost to Brock, then he got hurt. He's back down to a level where it's gonna take him a while to get back to that hot point. Braun just lost. He's going to cool off. And now you got to find the next guy. And the next guy is Roman Reigns. Hopefully, they're smart enough. Survivor Series, do it. Why wait? Anyway, pick 'em, Tim.
Well, pick 'em. Yeah. We kind of have a winner.
We do have a winner.
For pick 'em. But, apparently, somebody on the panel went 7-1 tonight.
Congratulations to the intern for going 7-1.
No, not the intern.
Congratulations to our winner of a copy of Second Nature.
No.
Autographed by Ric Flair and Charlotte.
I said on this panel.
Mike, congratulations.
No,
you went 5-1.
No. Fuck you. You're a dick. I'm just going to tell you. I went 7-1, and I got tiebreaker number 2 correct. I predicted 6 suplexes, and we got 6 suplexes.
Congratulations, Tim.
Bitch.
You can go read the book.
Now, why is there an asterisk?
Because you got that,
the tiebreaker. Yeah. Okay, I get it now.
So, on that one.
Brent cheated, and he got what?
He went 7-1.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah. But he did not get the tiebreakers.
He didn't get the tiebreakers.
He did not get the tiebreakers. But someone did.
Yeah, Tommy C.
Tommy, you won.
Actually, he got Bailey pinned, and then Brent cheated
and crossed it out
because Brent was cheating.
Because basically, he crossed out everyone in the match, so everyone got pinned.
So he cheated. Intern cheated. Intern does not win the book. Congratulations to Tommy C. 7-1, and tiebreaker number 1. Predicting Bailey was getting pinned. That's what won you the autographed copy.
Hold on.
What?
Look at the thing, right? How many? No. What are the tiebreakers called?
Tiebreaker number 1 and tiebreaker number 1.
Come on, intern. 1 and 2? You don't know 1 and 2?
He can't count past 1. He's worse than a referee in a wrestling match.
Alright, Tommy, you know how to get a hold of me. Get a hold of me, send me your address, and I'll send it off to the people, the fine folks. Over at St. Martin's Press, who will be sending you the copy of Second Nature, written by Brian Shields, Charlotte Flair, and Ric Flair, and it's autographed by the Nature Boy Ric Flair and the second, the Queen Charlotte Flair. So send me your information, and I'll get the book out to you as soon as possible. Yes, please do. Email me, because it's awesome. So, don't expect the book for a little bit, because we're waiting for this next part of it, because someone let the cat out of the bag on Twitter and almost screwed this up tonight. So,
who did that?
You.
So, what did I let out of the bag?
So what are we doing for the next pick'em, Tim?
For the next pick'em?
Yeah.
We're going to play pick'em and see if somebody can win pick'em and have bragging rights. Oh, and another autographed copy of Second Nature.
If the intern didn't screw this up, we were giving out both copies tonight, just so people are aware. But we have another copy to give away, autographed by the Nature Boy Ric Flair and Charlotte Flair for, what, Hell in a Cell? It's the next one? Yeah, Hell in a Cell. So that's pick 'em for Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
So there you go. Want to run down the results? So
the rest of the results, 8-Ball, Crispy, Matt, and Omega all got 6-2. And none of them got any of the tiebreakers. Tied for 8th place, Clint Hogg, Quinn, and Rock, 6 Degrees of Samson, 5-3. 12th place was, the video game. The video game got 5 right and 2 matches wrong. And then in 13th place, All By His Widow Wants Him Is Heartbreak, Mike, 5-1. Michael, our buddy from, Sweden, right? Or is it Switzerland?
Keep going.
Anyway, he's probably tired of that joke too. He broke even at 500 along with Amy, Lindsay, Sheila, and Witt.
Hold on.
4-4, but Michael wins because he got the tiebreaker. One of them.
And to quote him, and I stayed up for exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. That was one shitty pay-per-view.
You don't have to like everything we watch. I mean, it's, you know.
That was a quote. Anyway, continue.
Like what you want and don't like what you don't want. Chris P, Ace, and Subway, 3-5. The random thing picker was just an absolute disaster this time around, 2-6. And Lone Job and Rob did not play. Why? Why? Were they scared?
Rob didn't show, and I never asked ever.
Okay, there you go.
That would be why. And then, I don't know why they were written down on the sheet because
and debts to pick 'em picks and no the coin didn't win either.
Coin doesn't play pick 'em.
The coin doesn't play pick 'em.
So WTR fantasy update. I'm in last place with 2. Lindsay has 3. Tim has 8. Mike has 9. The intern has 10. Plan B himself has 33.
What the fuck off?
Omega
all my
must
champions.
Die.
All my champions won tonight.
Omega must die.
Plan B.
Oh, watch him lose 50 points over the next week.
Oh yeah, don't worry. Like track record says, this won't last.
I mean, he's been not monstrously in the lead in previous fantasies where he's just fallen flat on his ass.
But I thought Plan B. Go ahead.
Hell in a Cell's next. That's what. Oh God.
I thought Plan B was always fully effective.
Ask Triple H. There's always a Plan B. You say Triple H movement, and I'm going to kick your ass.
That wasn't the Plan B I was talking about. Anyway.
just making sure you understand.
I think Mike now just realized the Plan B I was talking about. Anyway, it's in the show, Tim.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening us ramble about the pay-per-view No Mercy. I hope you found some mercy afterward with our reviews. That being said, time to talk normally and remind you that tomorrow night immediately following Raw, it's the Raw Post Show that should have a name besides Raw Post Show, but it's immediately following Raw, IFR.
Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, recapping everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw.
Oh my God, the first season is just about to end on WTR Sims.
Yeah, this week we're going to defend the Super Raider Championship for second to last time. Who will be in that match? That's what the episode's all about. It's the WTR Sims, the finale. We're gearing up to it, Season 1, on October 10th. But tune in every Tuesday night, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow, 11:15 p.m. Eastern. That's where we're headed. What are we calling it, Tim? The Ultimate Championship Challenge is the name of the season finale.
Is that... Who came up with that dumb title?
You.
That explains it. Thursday nights at 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain Time. It's another edition of the Rack Radio Show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Multi-time, multi-award winning with your host, Lindsay Ward. If you've never tuned in before, Jesus Christ, do it.
There you go. We have the NXT Rundown, the SmackDown Throwdown. We'll have the No Mercy review, and so much more to Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rack Extra. Total Bellas Season 2, Episode 3 now available by Thursday. Episode 4 will be available. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/RackRadioShow. Content comes a few times a week. We're going to have a lot of content when 2K18 comes out. check it out, subscribe, youtube.com/rockradioshow, Rock Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Instagram, Tumblr, Rock Radio Show. It's all there. Just search for us, Rock Radio Show, TZ, rockradioshow.com.
Yeah, and of course, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as they yet get to it. The wild, the wacky, the unusual. They're not a gang. They're a motorcycle club. CB Radio.
Check out last night's episode featuring the return of Ace, because why show up for the big 500 when you can show up for 502? It's CB Radio Saturday night. It's midnight-ish. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies.
And then, of course, next Sunday night, back to our regularly scheduled time, 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern, another edition of WTR Sunday Night. And get this, because it's been a long time since we've done one. Next Sunday night will be preview and pick 'em for Hell in the Cell. That's our main focus for next Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network on WTR Sunday Night. Guys, follow me on the Twitters, at Flames Forums. Now, I'm going to be continuing with my tweets about wrestling and political shit to piss you off. But those of you who like to follow hockey and are into the NHL, NHL season is just around the corner. Puck drop is October 4th, the day after my birthday on the regular NHL season. And you can damn betcha that at Flames Forums is a primarily hockey Twitter. So if you want to find out what's going on in the NHL, follow me for that. Check out Wild Talk Radio on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. WTR Sunday Night is on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night. Check out our Facebook pages, facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm done. Omega, why don't you do something?
Ooh, my turn. So, everywhere online, except over on Facebook, you can find me at the same place. If you are the Facebook type, you can find me over at TJ Reviews. However, everywhere else, over on Twitter, it is TJ Omega. TJ Omega is also the YouTube channel where we're finally going to get back up to full speed after cleaning up after a fucking hurricane.
Wait, there was a hurricane?
Yeah, stand back, a hurricane came through.
Holy I told shit. You, you should have played the song for him.
Beat the Rock while I was here. Now, yeah, and if you're the type that wants to see things that YouTube does not like, there is tjomega.net with a bunch of exclusive content.
And Omega is referring to beating the Rock in on, what, WWF No Mercy for the N64? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Anyway, Mike, stop, go.
And for those of you, oh my god, he really already customized the fucking belt. Alright, for those of you that want to, you know, add the black guy, fuck the revival, you can add me on the Twitter page, the WTR Oreo, fuck the revival. I'm also doing this thing on Facebook, fuck Omega. And
wow.
You can enjoy, you know, hit me up on Facebook, and it's a. United Wrestling, and you can take a look at it. Fuck this draft. Fuck Omega again. And fuck Plan B. Back to you.
Vindictive.
I got triple
wow.
fucked right there.
You really
man,
do.
Man, you're going to be walking bow-legged for a week now.
I know what Lita feels like.
You really will need Plan B after that. Jesus. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Good
yeah,
night,
that's
everybody.
It. Everybody say good night. We'll catch you next Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.